I'm reading from Acts chapter 3, the first 10 verses. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
So we are at the final part of our series, Rooted, Growing and Sowing. And over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about what our priorities should be as a church as we move forward post-pandemic. We've been thinking especially about this painting that our friend Chris Duffett has painted for our church, this prophetic painting of a dandelion field that we believe is a picture for our church as we move forward. That just as the dandelions here are rooted in the field, that God wants us to be deeply rooted in our worship, in our love of Scripture, in our prayer life. That God's desire for our church is to see healthy growth, just as these dandelions are growing healthily in this field, that God wants us and our community to have healthy emotional and spiritual well-being as we move forward. And Sally spoke on that last week. It's really helpful what Sally said. And today we find ourselves in the final part of this picture at the top. And we're going to be thinking about what it means to be sown. Sown by the Spirit. Here the dandelion seeds are being sown by the wind. But God wants us as a church over these coming years to increasingly have a passion to be sown by His Spirit across our area. We're to be a church that is rooted, that is growing, that is sowing. So let's pray together, shall we, as we think about today's topic. And Father God, we ask that your Holy Spirit will now come and fill us afresh. Come, Holy Spirit. Wherever we are listening to this message, come and speak deeply into our hearts. Embed this picture of dandelion seeds being sown into our consciousness, into our spirit, I pray. That each one of us would know what it means to be sown by you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, over recent years within Friends and Free Church, one of the phrases that has become part of our life is this idea that we all have front lines. That our front lines are the places where we spend the majority of our time outside of the church. There's 168 hours in every week, and if you take away perhaps the time that we're all in bed asleep, that leaves us with about 112 hours. And then if you take off a couple of hours maybe that we spend together on a normal week anyway in church, then we're left with 110 hours per week. Those places, those hours are our front lines. The places where we live, the places where we work, the places where we play. Where we're in contact with members of our community. Where we play our parts within the community. These are the places that I believe God is sowing us. That if we are these healthy, growing, deeply rooted dandelions, that there'll come a point where God sows us by His Spirit and He takes us out, maybe into sports club, maybe into hobby groups, maybe into workplaces, the school gate, into groups that we mix with. And that God wants us to take root there and to grow and to see the good things of his kingdom becoming established in those places. Now that might fill you with fear, the idea that God might want to use you out and about, and you think, oh no, that's going to be difficult, it's going to feel really manufactured. But, you know, I believe we're not talking about manufacturing opportunities to share the good news of Jesus. I don't believe that we're talking about big gospel events with stages and lights and a speaker and a band. You know, I think out on our front lines and increasingly in these coming years, God just wants to use these ordinary moments and to use us as ordinary people to have encounters with people that can potentially change their lives. You know, we've heard Acts chapter 3, 10 verses from the start of Acts chapter 3 read to us, and in that passage we see Peter and John out on their front line going up to the temple to pray. I love this summary of those 10 verses, that it's the story of an ordinary day when two ordinary men meet another ordinary man. Now, of course, something incredible, something dramatic happened in that passage. This man that they meet who's begging and who's got a disability is healed by God. But it's in just the ordinary encounter that that happens. Now, they're doing what they would normally do, perhaps every day, going up to the temple to pray. But God uses that moment. You know, without a doubt, God heals that man. We're left in no doubt in that passage that it's God who's done it. Look at what it says. You know, Peter said to the crowd, said to the man, he said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. And look what he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then later on he says, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, Peter and John, they are just ordinary men. There's nothing special about them. They're out on their front line going up to the temple to pray. They don't have, as I say, a big gospel event. They don't have a big manufactured opportunity to share the gospel. They just take advantage of that moment and God nudging them. And Peter reaches out and heals this man. But it's God who's done it. God has healed the man, but he wanted Peter and John's help on their front line. I love how the theologian John Stott put it a few years ago. He says this, the power was Jesus's, but the hand was Peter's. The power was Jesus's, but the hand was Peter's. Now, this miracle is the result of a partnership between God and two ordinary men. Two men on their front line who felt God nudging them to stop and give time to this man they were walking past. God healed the man, but he used Peter's hand to do it. And I wanted us to look at that story today because I believe it's a great picture for us moving forward as a church. You see, our priority as we move forward is to work in partnership with Jesus, just as Peter and John did, on our front lines, waiting for his nudges. Waiting for God to prompt us. Not manufacturing opportunities, but just being the people that we are. Just using our personalities and our characters. Just using the places where God puts us to have an impact on other people. Sometimes that might mean praying for people. Other times it might just be being kind and being loving and being generous. Sometimes it might be praying for someone to be healed. But all the time it's just waiting for God to nudge us. And as we move forward on our front lines, one of the key things that each one of us must believe, and we must trust that God wants to speak to us. You know, we've got our front lines, these places where God has sown us. But we've got to believe as we work out our lives in those places that God might be wanting to speak to us. You know, we are designed, we are created for a relationship with God. God wants to communicate with you. He wants to communicate with me. And so we need to find ourselves in a place where we're expecting that to happen. I love the story in the Old Testament about the boy Samuel who is growing up in the temple, and Eli, the older man, is bringing him up and training and teaching him. And one night, I'm sure you know the story, they're asleep in the temple and you get the impression that Eli's room is down the corridor and Samuel's is somewhere else in the temple. And three times Samuel hears a voice calling out to him, and three times he gets up because he thinks it's Eli speaking to him, and he wakes up and he goes down and says, "Eli, Eli, what do you want?" And Eli says, "It's not me calling to you." And this happens two or three times. And then, you know, Eli realizes and Samuel realizes that maybe it's God speaking to Samuel. And there's this lovely moment where Samuel calls out to God and he says this, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Speak, your servant is listening. At that moment, Samuel trusted the creator of the universe, that God wanted to speak to him, that he wanted to communicate to him. I think that's a great place for you and I to position ourselves as well. There's nothing better than you and I can pray every day when we're out on our front lines. Now speak, Lord, speak, God, your servant Mark is listening. Speak to me. Communicate to me, just as you did to Peter and John. Communicate to me as well. And once we're trusting that God wants to speak to us on our front lines, we can then anticipate what that might feel like, what it might be like. And one of the things I've found in these moments is that often when God speaks to me, it's a strong feeling that just gets stronger. There's been once in my life where I really felt I heard the voice of God, an audible voice. More often than not, it's just this gut feeling, this strong feeling that rises up inside of me. This overwhelming sense that the Holy Spirit is urging me to act. That, you know, sometimes it's that I sometimes feel it's that I'm to cross the road and to go into a shop, or to sometimes it's to go and just ask somebody if they need help. And it's this feeling that starts in my gut and it just gets stronger and stronger. It's like excitement and a sense of adrenaline as well. Sometimes even a little bit of fear and the sense that I'm taking a huge risk. I wonder if you've felt like that as well. Now the only thing I can compare it to, if ever you've been to a theme park where you've maybe queued up for a roller coaster or a ride, and sometimes these queues can be so long. You know, they can be an hour and a half sometimes to queue up for a ride, and you start at the back of the queue and you're just normal and it's ordinary and you're waiting, but as you get further up the queue, the excitement and that adrenaline starts to grow as you start to anticipate getting on the ride. And until you get to the front of the queue and maybe the roller coaster pulls up alongside and the guy says, "Right, you can get in." And then that sense of, "Right, here we go." And you step into the ride and you sit down and you think, "Right, what's this going to be like?" And your knuckles are white and you're like, this is exciting. But there's a sense of risk and a little bit of fear as well. Now, if I'm honest, that's what it can feel like when God speaks to us, when he urges us, when he nudges us to get involved on our front lines. When he says, "Would you go and talk to that person? Would you go and make time for that person?" It can feel so exciting, but there's a sense of risk as well. And that sense of something building, you get it in the story here, don't you? With Peter and John. You know, they've got their plans. It is just to say an ordinary day on their front line. They're going to pray. But there's a sense that it builds as God starts to nudge them. It's an incredible, beautiful story, really. You know, they're going up to the temple, and then it says that the man, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. That's just, he asked them for money. That was the money they had, the alms. And he asks for money, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John. And that's like the story starting to build, isn't it? This sense of something is going to happen, and that first little nudge from God as their eyes meet, as Peter and John's eyes meet with this man who's begging. And you just get the sense of the Holy Spirit saying, go look at him. Look at him. Ask him to look at you. This sense of the Holy Spirit saying to them, give him your time. Give him your attention. And then as their eyes meet, the Holy Spirit again nudging Peter and John, saying, he's asking you for money, but I want you to give him so much more. And that sense of within Peter and John of the adrenaline and that excitement and that risk and that fear, and they begin to take a deep breath and say, okay, Lord, we'll do it. We'll step out in faith. And because they do, they find themselves at the centre of the first miraculous moment in the book of Acts. I take a deep breath, and Peter says, well, look, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you. And then a deep breath as the, if you like, the ride starts. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. What an incredible moment. Just ordinary men on their ordinary front line, but recognising that God would want to speak to them. And then as they feel God speaking to them, they're prepared. They're prepared to take that risk. And in doing that, you know, they were prepared to have their day interrupted. This is just the last thing I wanted to share, is that often when we're on our front lines and often when God speaks to us, it can feel and seem like an inconvenience. It can seem like an interruption. You know, Peter and John, we couldn't criticise them for what they were doing. They were going to the temple to pray. They were going to do the thing that they would do every day. But they're prepared to slow down. They're prepared to stop. They're prepared to have their nice, neat plans interrupted. And that's a challenge for you, isn't it? It's a challenge for me as well, that as we go about our front lines, that where we can have everything so well planned out, where we can have everything so carefully diarised, are we prepared to be interrupted? Are we prepared to stop and to slow down? You know, I love how Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it. He says this, we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. You see, what if an interruption on our front line isn't an interruption at all, but it's a moment that God is grabbing our attention? What if these things are holy interruptions? You know, what if the train that we're on is late and we might be getting frustrated, but what if actually it's going to be late so that we can chat to the person next to us a bit longer? What if that flustered checkout girl who's taking ages to get that price checked, which means your shopping trip is taking so much longer, what if actually God's put her across your path so that you can be the person that day to show her grace, that you can be the person to tell her it's okay and to thank her and to make her feel special? What if when you're sitting down in that coffee shop with your coffee and your book, and you've thought, I've got an hour now just to myself to read. What if that person who says, is anyone sitting here? and takes the chair opposite you? What if actually God's brought them across your path because you can be a friend to them that day, and that's exactly what they need? What if your neighbour who's knocked on your door again is in need of some prayer? What if that student in the class that you teach who keeps coming back and asking the same question, who asks for the same problem to be explained again and again and again, is put across your path so that you can show them the patience of God? What if God has stopped you with that video and that interview with Alice earlier about CAP? What if that's been brought across your path so that you can become a befriender? So that you can give up some time each week to show somebody again God's grace and God's love and a way out of their situation of debt? What if that beggar blocking our path doesn't really want money, but wants to experience God's love and God's healing? Holy interruptions on our front lines. Now, these aren't the enemies of productivity and creativity, but moments where God breaks through. God is sowing us across our area, on our front lines, to make a difference for Him. You and I, our role in this is to expect Him to speak. And when He speaks to us, to feel that nudge, that overwhelming feeling becoming bigger and bigger, and to breathe in and take a risk. We just don't know what would happen and how He could use us. Yours and my job is to see them not as interruptions or inconveniences, but to say, I wonder if God is going to use this moment, and be prepared to slow down and be prepared to stop and sometimes give that person the time that they need. This doesn't have to be rocket science. This doesn't have to be manufactured opportunities. This is you being you, this is me being me. Showing God's love, allowing the Holy Spirit which lives and dwells in each one of us to shine through. We have this treasure, the Bible says, in jars of clay. You know, jars of clay, they get cracked, they get bashed, they get chipped. But what happens then is that what is inside can show through. You're a jar of clay, I'm a jar of clay, I'm flawed, I'm broken, but I've got a treasure inside of me that God wants to show on our front lines. I love how it puts it in Micah chapter 6. But God's already made it plain how to live and what to do. What God is looking for in men and women, it's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbour. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. This is what it looks like for Friends and Free Church to be sown on our front lines. It's quite simple. It's doing what is fair and just to the people around us. It's being compassionate and loyal in our love as we're sown by the Spirit. Not taking ourselves and our diaries too seriously. It's taking God seriously and expecting great things from Him. We're going to pause here and we're going to just listen and use this song to help us worship. A few weeks ago, just after Easter, around Pentecost, we started to use this song. It was written recently by the team from the London Institute for the Contemporary Christianity and also the Thy Kingdom Come Prayer Initiative. And it's a song written to the tune of Abide With Me, and some of you will recognise it. As I say, we have used it, but it just talks about how God wants to use us on our front lines. How He wants to use us to see healing, to see places revived and transformed as we're out and about. And I want you to use this as a prayer now. Let me and you use this as a prayer. As we allow God to sow us on our front lines, that we will see our society transformed and revived and healed in Jesus' name. And that'd be fantastic if we increasingly see that and see God using us on our front lines in that way. So what practically will this look like for us as a church over these coming years? What steps are we going to take to allow God to sow us on our front lines? Well, you know, one of the things I found and learnt about dandelions over recent weeks is that most seeds from a dandelion are sown quite close to the parent plant, within 30 centimetres of that plant. If you've ever had dandelions in your lawn, you'll know that to be true. Once they sow, your whole lawn can be covered with new dandelions growing. And there's a sense that's true for us as a church as well, that for many of us, our front lines are going to be quite local, are going to be in our community, which is quite right, isn't it? In the clubs and societies and groups and school gates and local shops and businesses where God might use us. And so we want to encourage us locally on our front lines and allow God to resource us. So one of the things that we're going to be putting in place and be a bit more intentional about is an ongoing partnership with the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity. Over recent years, their resources about front lines have been so helpful to us, and Steve Rouse, who many of you know in particular, who works for LICC, has helped our church a lot, and we're going to be more intentional about that relationship. So hopefully you'll see a bit more of the team from LICC coming down to Frinton and helping us, and in particular a church weekend in October. You can put that in your diaries now. It's going to be led by LICC and Steve Rouse, which will be really kicking off and launching that relationship. We're going to have regular slots in our services so that many of us can share our experiences about our front lines, and so we can be praying for each other and get a picture of what life looks like in those 110 hours a week where we're not in our church building. I'd also love to appoint a ministry leader for front lines. And if this particularly grabs you, if the idea of God using us and sowing us on our front lines particularly grabs you, come and talk to me, because maybe that could be you. And maybe you could be the person who champions and really helps to resource our church on our front lines. But the other thing I've learned about dandelions is that whilst most seeds are sown very close to the parent plant, some seeds travel further. In fact, and I don't know who's worked this out, but in fact, dandelions hold the record for sowing their seeds the furthest of any plant. Sometimes up to a kilometre away. Isn't that incredible? And there's a sense that, for our church as well, that God doesn't just want us to confine ourselves to our locality, but maybe he wants to sow some of us a bit further around the area. In our survey at the end of last year, one of the questions within that was, where do you see missional opportunities across the wider Tendring area? And lots of you responded, and lots of the same places came up. Lots of you wrote about Jaywick. Lots of you wrote about areas of Clacton. Lots of you wrote about Harwich, about local sports groups, about local societies and clubs, about local schools. So many of these common areas came up. And so as a leadership team and as a church, we believe that for some of us, God is calling us to go a little bit further. And so I would love to see at least 5 missional opportunities led by members of our church across Tendring over these coming years. I'd love to see at least 5 of those groups launched. And it could be that we gather a group of you together who have got a passion for Jaywick, and we say, let's meet together, let's pray, let's seek God, and let's go together and go and bless that area of Tendring. It could be that a group of you who are very passionate about sports and are involved in local sports groups say, let's get together, let's pray, and let's go and do something that really blesses the local sports teams. It could be that a group of you have got a school on your heart, or maybe a local society or a hobby, or maybe the allotments or something like that you've got a passion about. You say, let's get together, let's pray, and let's intentionally then go together and go and bless that group of people. I think that would be so exciting. God wants to sow us by His Spirit. Some of us are going to land quite close. Some of us, God is going to take further. But how exciting as we see His kingdom come, as we see Him revive and heal and transform our area out on our front lines. It's really great what God wants to do and what He might be stirring amongst us. And just finally, as I finish, now we believe that if we're really going to achieve these strategic opportunities that God has for us to be rooted, to be growing, and to be sown by the Spirit, that our behaviour and our language and our activities as a church need to change. And 6 years ago, we adopted 5 values that would help shape our behaviour and our language and our activities within our church. And these 5 values have served us really well. Let me show them to you. We value pioneering and risk taking. We value faith. We value generosity. And we value bringing blessing. And those have been great over the last 6 years. But there was a sense, if we were to move forward and begin to change as a church, that we needed just to reframe and rewrite some of those values to really match what God has put on our hearts. And so this short video just introduces you to 5 values that have been rewritten that I think fit really well with where God is taking us as a church. At The Free, we believe God wants us to grow as a church that has deep roots, a church that promotes healthy growth, and also a church that is sown by the Spirit across our area. But you know, it's one thing painting a picture of the type of church God wants us to be. It's another seeing that dream become a reality. We believe that values change culture. They change our behaviour. And so there are certain things that we as a church value. And we believe that as we live these values out, we will see God's vision become reality. We are a church that values cultivating disciples through our worship, through our prayer, and through our study of Scripture. We are a church that values breaking new ground as pioneers and risk takers. We are a church that values renewing well-being through encounters with God's shalom peace. We are a church that values giving generously in response to God's overwhelming generosity towards us. And we are a church that values being God's church wherever we are. We all have a front line.